Tim and Jess.
Weekday mornings from 5.
On here.
Tim, 13, 12, 16. We want to find the person in CQ with the worst possible diet.
Now, you're saying that you want to find someone with a worse diet than Donald Trump. Can you tell me what Donald Trump's diet consists of so I know how to base this?
Buddy, it is disturbing. First of all, let's start off with 12 cans of Diet Coke per day.
President of the United States needs nothing less than that.
12 cans. Diet Coke, though, so, you know, it's healthy.
No, it's
he
not.
Also, when he'll go to KFC, he'll get a giant bucket of chicken.
Do you reckon that the White House has a KFC store inside it?
Oh, if it doesn't, I mean, what's the point
what's
of
the
being
point
the president? There's no point.
No.
But it's his Macca's order that horrifies me.
Sure.
Here we go.
Okay, hit me.
Two Big Macs.
Yep.
Two fillet of fish sandwiches.
Ew.
And a chocolate milkshake.
Now, fillet of fish, mate. What are you doing with
his
yourself?
His press secretary came out and said, look, he doesn't eat the buns. He just eats the meat.
Just eats the meat.
Honey, that's still bad.
that's not good for you.
No, okay. That is too much for one human.
100%.
Like, that's a family feast right there.
I'll normally, if I ever have fast food, I'll get two burgers tops.
Will you?
Yeah. Because one burger's not enough.
Are you serious?
I'm a hungry, growing boy, and my tum-tum needs nutrients.
Well, we want to find out who has a worse diet than Donald Trump right here in CQ. Yeah, because I guarantee there's someone worse than this.
Dob them in. 13, 12, 16. If you do, you got C's brand new Christmas album. So that's a double incentive to give us a call and dob a mate in. And it's funny, if you want to full name them, 100% we're on board.
Yeah, we're on board with naming and shaming. That's fine.
13, 12, 16. Who's got a worse diet than Donald Trump, which consists of just raw meats?
Just
and
garbage.
Just garbage.
We've got Belinda from Tatum Sands on 13, 12, 16. Belinda, who do you know who has a worse diet than Donald Trump?
It's probably on par with his, but I have a friend who exclusively eats chicken nuggets and chips.
I think everyone's got that one friend.
Belinda, would your friend happen to be Jess sitting across from me?
No. No, he's very self-sufficient, like whether they're from one of the fast food places, or sometimes he'll make them himself. Like the frozen chicken nugget from the supermarket.
Is he a fussy eater, Belinda? Is that why he's...
Yeah.
Nuggets
I'm
alive.
Certain, like, she hasn't had a vegetable since his mum shoved him down his throat when he was a child.
Hey, if you can keep winning, why not? Why not keep going? I fully back this man. Thank you very much.
I'm worried about him.
Thanks for your call, Belinda. We've got to see his brand new Christmas album for you.
Champion. Thanks, guys.
Got Jamin from Rockhampton. Mate, who's got a worse diet than Donald Trump?
My cousin, he eats Weet-Bix with 4 tablespoons of sugar on it.
Oh, my God. Hang on. Note that he said tablespoons, not teaspoons.
My stomach
So, wait. How many Weet-Bix does he do?
Two. Oh.
Two.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that is two? That is a tablespoon?
You don't need milk. You don't have any room for milk.
That is horrifying.
Wait, did you say he has no milk?
Yeah.
No, he does not.
So he has two Weet-Bix with 4 heaped spoons of sugar, and that is his breakfast every day.
Yeah.
All right, mate, you need to intervene right now. Get your cousin
Absolutely. And,
mate, bring him in here and
I'll
have a talk
to him.
Put him
on diabetes prevention.
Thanks for your call, mate. We've got C's brand new album for you.
Thank you.
No worries, mate. I feel sick from hearing these things.
I feel like Weet-Bix.
Get up with Tim and Jess.
Tim, if you've got a husband at home right now that's sick and complaining and having a whinge, unfortunately, man flu is a real thing.
What do you mean?
A study's been done in Canada and it was carried out to determine whether men really do experience worse symptoms than women.
Yep.
When they have the flu.
Because you see, like, when a man gets flu, he's on the couch and he's, everyone needs to help me. And look, to be fair, when I get sick, I get sick. And when I'm not sick, I'm fine.
When my dad gets sick, he's on the couch acting like it's his deathbed.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I'll leave this to you, Jessica. Like, it's the flu, Dad. You can relax. But apparently, he shouldn't. Because this new study revealed that men actually do have, aren't exaggerating symptoms, they actually have weaker immune systems, which means that they experience a much greater response to the flu.
Man flu's real.
I cannot believe that the man flu is real.
So get off my case, mate. When I get sick, I get sick. That's my life.
It turns out the more masculine you are, the more chance you have of having a really bad man flu.
Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes it gets pretty bad. Can't get off the couch. But besides that, look, every day is a beautiful day and you just move on forward with it.
All right. Okay. So next time your man's on the couch and he's complaining of his man flu, give him a little bit more sympathy.
And some estrogen. It's Tim and Jess. It's so cute.
Get up with Tim and Jess.
And Tim, I know how much it makes you angry when people make money from YouTube.
I just think that there is not a real job in it. And obviously people are getting jobs. It's like Instagram people that are rich. Come on, guys.
This one's going to make you furious.
Sure.
His name is Ryan. He's 6 years old, has 10 million subscribers.
6 years old.
And he earned $11 million from his YouTube channel last year.
What's his YouTube channel? Trying to spell his own name?
No, apparently he does toy reviews for kids. And he will basically sit there and unwrap toys, play with them, and film videos. He's been doing it since he was four.
One thing that makes me angry as a child that's more successful than me is parents that force their children to be on YouTube for their literally monetary gain.
Well, see, all the money has gone into Ryan's name.
Better.
So he has made the Forbes list.
See, this is
at number eight.
This is crap, mate, because like my first job, I wasn't not getting paid $11 million a year.
Absolutely not.
Do you know how much money I got paid? I used to
What was your first job?
Mowing lawns
in
the neighborhood.
How old were you?
I was 14, 15, 16-ish. Yeah, yeah. I did it all the way until I was 18. And didn't matter what size. It could have been 10 acres or literally an alley down the side of a house. $5.
$5.
Is what I would get for a lawn.
You were a steal.
I know. I got lots of work.
You should have charged by the square meter.
Mate, I can't. I'm not going to take my ruler out with me. See, that's crap.
See, I thought it was bad. I started as a waitress when I was 14.
Yeah.
At
14, 9 months is the magical age.
And exactly as soon as I turned 14, 9 months, that's when I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like running, bussing tables, whatever.
Yeah.
$8.90 an hour.
Mate, big spender. You're getting $3 more than me.
$8.90. I remember my first paycheck. I was like, oh, look at me raking in the big ones.
Anyone want half of a KFC family box meal? It's on me. Anyway, so 13, 12, 16, what was your pay for your first job?
Yeah.
Because this kid's what, $11 million?
And he's 6 years old.
Grow up, champ.
We don't make that, and we're like in our 20s, Tim. That's not okay.
I don't think it's an age thing. I think it's a success thing. So,
well, we're not successful either. Yes. You're just trying to rub salt in the wound.
13, 12, 16, give us a call. Then we've had Shell call through from Rocky. Shell, how much did you get paid for your first job?
I actually don't know if I should be saying it now because I don't know if it counts like as, I don't know, child labour or something, but we've got a family friend who owns a fruit shop.
Okay.
And when I was like 14, 15, the family friend like asked my dad if me and my brother could work, like help him out a bit.
Sure.
Right.
So we thought, yeah, you know, it's like her first job. We got paid in like fruit. Like, no. He gave us a box of fruit at the end of every week to take home.
Hey, Shell, fruit's expensive. Yeah. When you become an adult, you realize how expensive fruit can be. Like, you were probably on a good wage.
You could have been on 30,000 grand a year without realizing.
Yeah, but like, I can't buy it. Like, I can eat it. Obviously, my family could eat it, but it's not like money.
Sort of trades and services.
Did you get to pick the fruit at least? Or were they just like, we've got a box of grapefruit left over. Do you want it?
Yeah, well, it was like mixed stuff. But. Yeah, no, and I'm pretty sure it was just the stuff that was about to go bad anyway. So I don't think it was a really good deal, but yeah.
Probably a good deal for him, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for your call, Shell. We got C's brand new Christmas album for you, mate.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Rob, what did you get paid for your first job, champ?
$96 a week, Tim.
$96 a week.
A week?
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I was an apprentice.
You were an apprentice. And what was your job, Rob?
Sparky.
And see, what era was this, Rob, please?
Norwich Park out of Dysart, Tim.
So wait, hang on. How many hours would you be working for your $96 a week?
38.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, sorry. Okay. This is early 80s. Sorry, Tim. I misheard you, mate.
That's all right, mate. $96 a week for 30 hours.
38 hours, Tim.
Sorry.
Maths I can't do, but I know it's terrible.
Get it right.
I can't do my maths, Rob. Don't get narky.
Where's the calculus?
Thanks for your call, Rob. Go spend your $96 somewhere.
Yeah.
Tim, It's only been 2 weeks and Rob has already figured out that we're not good at maths.
Do we have to give him the See Your Christmas album? I'm not sure if I want to.
Yeah, I think we do. Let's give him a See Your Christmas album. Enough. Christmas has come early. It's See Your's Every Day is Christmas. It's out now and it's yours, Robbo.
It's Tim and Jess for Hits EQ.
Get up with Tim and Jess.
And Tim, just when you thought Canada was this beautiful, idyllic place, it's not.
See, but Canada streams to me as one of those countries, kind of like Australia, Denmark and Japan. It's just like they're the countries you want to be born in.
Yeah, you would think. But since 2007, 18 unidentified feet have washed up on the stretch of coast between Canada and the US.
All right, that's a lot. I'm going to be real with you. Yeah. Well, Canada's got a massive coastline because not only is it a country, obviously, in diameter, but it's got lots of little inlets and channels, mm-hmm. so it's zigging and zagging all over the place.
And they're just popping up all over the place.
Oh,
and
fun.
The Mounties are like, hey, what's going on, hey? They have no idea what's going on. Do you like my Canada accent?
Do you have
accent?
Any idea of what a person from Canada sounds like? That was embarrassing and probably racist.
Seriously, the Mounties can't figure out what's going on. They've only been able to identify six of the 18 random feet that have floated
ashore. Have they found two of the same person? Or
no.
Is it just, ooh.
They're all random.
Well, I imagine it to just be like potential drownings and stuff
well,
like that.
Well, this is the thing. The six that they have been able to identify aren't connected in any way. They think that it's most likely that they've been in some horrific accident.
Well, see, there's a lot of, obviously, as I said before, lots of inlets, so lots of fishing boats, I'm assuming, and stuff like that, where boats sink, people go missing.
And
unfortunately, that's where the feet rock up.
Because it's only the foot that is rocking up on the shore.
Dust boot.
The latest one, a number 18, rocked up in a New Balance sneaker.
Oh.
And the Mounties are saying that it's possible that somehow that got severed from the rest of the body and it's the only bit that will float into shore because it's on the shoe.
Oh.
And the shoes are buoyant.
The shoes are buoyant.
And so this is how they're explaining 18 unidentified feet washing up on
Jeez.
The shore.
If they're the ones that are keeping buoyant, what about all the feet that don't have any shoes on, Jess, that are just walking around the bottom of the ocean floor going, looking for a body to walk around with? Canada, I still think that, like, as mentally scarring as that would be to mm-hmm. find a foot on a beach, I think that, look, changes the holiday out, makes it exciting, bit of a story, that's fun.
God.
Obviously, if you don't find the other end of the body, that's a bit scary as well.
It's a story I'd rather not have to tell, Tim.
Say Canada 2018. We're doing the show from Canada.
Get up with Tim and Jess.
If you're sitting at home right now thinking, you know what, I want to live past 100, well, strap yourself in because I'm about to give you all the information you
Hit
need.
Hit me with it, Timmy.
So, Jess, essentially, when you start to get to 90 years old, it gets to the point where you're thinking, all right, I've had a good run. Let's try and get to 100. That's like, once you get to the 90s, I assume getting to 100 is the goal.
Yeah.
And apparently being stubborn and just being very straightforward and in your way and absolutely taking nothing from no one is what's going to get you there.
Right, because people I'm training already.
People might be telling you to do this. People might be telling you to do that. If you just go, nah, stuff ya, I'm doing me. That's how you're going
to
make it there.
That is the thing I'm looking forward to most about being old.
Yep.
Just like not having to do anything I don't want to do.
Yep. So being domineering, obviously something that you would go well with.
Yep.
And I think that moving forward, if you continue this, you could go to 200. You could be the first person to get to 200, Jess.
What is the record? How old has someone gotten?
I think it'd be like 120-something. I believe that is the record.
Oh, right.
So that's quite an age. But I think 100, like just having a positive outlook on being the grumpiest person you could potentially be is fantastic.
So all those times that you say to me, you need to be more positive. You need to be more positive, Jess.
A very constant remark that is thrown around this building is you need to take your cranky pants off.
Yep.
And so Jess, it seems like you can keep cranky pants on.
I need to put on a few more pairs.
Get up with Tim and Jess.
Midnight tonight is going to be a big time for a lot of people across central Queensland.
Sure.
Big time for a lot of people all around the world, you could almost say.
Because we're like very close to Christmas. Or
no. The debut, the premiere screening of the latest Star Wars movie, The Installation, The Last Jedi, technically comes out on Thursday, but midnight, that's Thursday. So they've got an advanced screening so that it kicks off at midnight. So for all those Star Wars fans, super fans, can watch it as soon as it hits Thursday.
I'm understanding why I didn't know what was going on. I've only ever seen one Star Wars movie. It was the last one that was released, number 7 or whatever?
Number 7, it was great.
I'm sure it would have been great
Force
if I
Awakens.
Knew what was happening at
well,
all.
Well, see, you got it cranky at the movie because you're like, I don't understand anything that's going on. It's it's because you haven't watched the other movies. That's like me just watching the last Harry Potter movie and going, I don't care.
People were cheering in the cinema, like when certain characters came on screen. Yeah. And I just, like, I didn't get it.
Because it's been part of people's life since, like, the early 80s, potentially late 70s.
Can you explain to me the robots, though?
What do you mean,
like,
the robots?
Because, you know, the, like, robot guys, they're like, beep, boop, beep, boop. And everyone's like, yeah, sure, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Yeah, how do they all know each other's language?
In a galaxy far, far away, Jess, you can understand beeps and bops just as, it's like a language. It so any it's sense. Like, it's like beep-bops, like robot language is like French. But
why don't
like,
they put any subtitles on, though? How do I know what the robots are saying?
You're not, if you do put subtitles on, you can see what they're saying, but it's kind of like, that's half the fun. It's like, people what? Oh, yeah, that's what I reckon. People what? Hey, don't say that. Like, that's fun. That's fun, Jess. I'm a big fan of Star Wars.
You're going to go see the number 8? Are you going to the midnight screening?
No, because I have to get up at 4. So I'm probably not going to because I don't want to just rock and roll from Star Wars straight into work. Cause
I feel like you could do it, though.
I definitely
could. If you were a real fan.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm a half fan. But it is screening the Gladstone, the cinema as well tonight, and the Birch Carol and Coyle North Rockhampton tonight at midnight. So if you want to go and check it out, get in line. There's probably not that many tickets left.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it sold out?
It wouldn't be sold out. It'd be selling out. So call them today because you don't want to miss out on your ticket. I'm excited to go and see it tomorrow after work finishes.
Yeah, enjoy, nerds.
It's Tim and Jess. It's CQ. That's rude.
This is the Tim and Jess podcast. On Hit.